picture this. You're sitting at your desk, or maybe you're sitting in your truck in the driveway, and you decide to do a quick search for your own business.
Oh, yeah. We've all been there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's something we've all done. You type like plumber near me or maybe HVAC company in your city into that little search bar. You hit enter and boom.
Yeah.
Right there at the very top of the results is your biggest competitor. Just, you know, smiling back at you.
It's the worst feeling.
It really is. Yeah. Meanwhile, your business, it's buried somewhere down on like page 3 or worse. It's just completely missing entirely.
It's an incredibly frustrating moment. And, I mean, it's a scenario that plays out thousands of times a day for business owners, freelancers, independent contractors, everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. And our mission for today's deep dive is to unpack exactly why that's happening. Like, why is that competitor winning? And more importantly, how do you close that gap?
Right.
Today, we're pulling our insights from a really eye-opening article. It was published literally today, March 27, 2026, on freebusinesslisting.com. Yeah, fresh off the presses. The piece is titled, Why Your Competitor Shows Up First and What They're Doing Right. And, okay, let's unpack this because my immediate assumption, and I think the assumption of anyone who has ever stared at a search result in defeat, is that this top-ranking competitor must just be throwing massive, massive budgets at digital ads.
Oh, absolutely.
Or, you know, they've hired someone doing some kind of complex dark web SEO magic behind the scenes to rig the game.
Right. That's the natural human reaction. We want to believe there's a secret cheat code they have access to.
Right. Or just endless money.
Exactly. A bottomless marketing budget that we just can't compete with. But this article completely dispels that myth.
Really?
Yeah. Search engines, and specifically the AI tools that increasingly power them, they don't pick favorites.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with luck, and in most of these local search cases, it actually has very little to do with massive ad budgets.
So what is it then?
Well, the hard, frankly, much simpler truth is that your competitor is just sending stronger visibility signals.
It's ability signals.
Right. They're giving the system exactly what it craves, which is clarity, consistency, and above all, trust.
Trust. I mean, that's such a human word to apply to a cold calculating machine.
It is, yeah.
We know the basics, right? Like, everyone listening knows you need a Google business profile or a Yelp page.
Yeah.
But how exactly does a business prove to a piece of software that it's fundamentally trustworthy?
That's the perfect question, because we have to move past the basics of just, you know, claiming a profile and look at how a machine actually processes reality.
Okay, so how does it do that?
The foundation of that trust, according to the piece, comes down to how algorithms build what's called a knowledge graph.
A knowledge graph?
Yeah. The business is winning at the top. They don't just throw up a basic name and number and walk away. They provide highly structured data.
Structured data.
Right. And not just on Google, but across the entire ecosystem. Apple Maps, Bing, industry-specific directories.
So they're everywhere.
Everywhere. We're talking accurate categories, clearly defined services, completely up-to-date hours, high-quality photos with metadata, and really detailed descriptions.
So it's not just about filling out a digital resume. It's about feeding the machine data in a format it doesn't have to work hard to understand.
Precisely. You have to understand the difference between structured and unstructured data.
Okay, break that down for me.
When you fill out your profile completely, you're handing the AI perfectly categorized structured data. It knows exactly what goes in the hours column and what goes in the services column.
Makes sense.
Now compare that to a competitor who has a half-filled profile. To figure out if that business is open on a Sunday, the search engine's crawler has to go out, scrape their website, maybe read a few old Facebook posts, and try to guess.
Oh, wow. So it has to do a bunch of extra work.
Exactly. That requires processing unstructured data. It's computationally expensive, and worse, it's risky for the AI.
Risky. Let me try to put a visual on this.
Go for it.
Instead of a customer trying to find a business, let's look at it from the algorithm's perspective. It's like the AI is a hyper-cautious switchboard operator from the 1950s.
I like this.
Right. And this operator's only metric for keeping their job, the only way they get a bonus, is if they never, ever connect a caller to a deadline or the wrong person.
Yep. They have to be perfectly accurate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if I call and ask for the plumber on Main Street, and the operator sees a perfectly typed index card with the plumber's name, verified address, and operating hours right in front of them, they connect the call instantly.
Because they trust the card.
Exactly. But if they have to sift through 3 different sticky notes with conflicting phone numbers, they're not going to risk their job guessing.
No, they'll just move on.
Right, they'll just connect me to the competitor whose index card is perfectly clean.
What's fascinating here is the actual underlying mechanics of how AI and search algorithms interpret those exact discrepancies you're talking about on those sticky
It's
notes.
like the different phone numbers.
Exactly. Or even smaller things. To a human, a missing suite number or a slight abbreviation of a business name, like using Inc. instead of Incorporated, might seem completely trivial.
Right, we'd just be like, oh, that's the same place.
Yeah, we can deduce it's the same place. We have common sense.
But the machine doesn't.
Right. An algorithm doesn't have common sense. It has a confidence score.
Confidence score.
Yes. When an AI is scraping the web to verify your NAP, that's name, address, and phone number, and it detects variations across the different directories, it doesn't just politely guess.
What does it do?
It registers a data conflict.
Oh. And a data conflict means a drop in confidence.
Exactly. Its internal confidence score drops. And because a search engine's entire reputation, its entire business model, is built on delivering accurate results to its users.
It can't afford to be wrong.
Exactly. Its threshold for showing a business is incredibly high. If that confidence score dips below a certain percentage because your Apple Maps listing says Avenue and your Bing listing says Ave and has a disconnected phone number from 5 years ago, the system refuses to show you.
Wow. Over Ave versus Avenue.
Sometimes, yes. It's not punishing you, it's protecting itself. There's a powerful direct quote from the source material that anchors this perfectly. It says, consistency builds trust. Inconsistency creates doubt.
Consistency builds trust. Inconsistency creates doubt. Man, that's a brutal reality check.
It really is.
I mean, you could be the absolute best HVAC technician in the state. You could have a whole fleet of trucks and 30 years of experience. But if your digital data is fragmented across the web, the algorithm basically thinks you're a liability.
Yes.
You're a ghost.
You're introducing friction into a system that's literally engineered to eliminate friction. The AI just wants a sure thing.
Okay, so let's say we fix the foundation. We audit our entire digital footprint, we clean up the data, and we make sure our basic identity is rock solid. The system trusts that we exist and knows exactly where we are without burning excess compute power.
Great first step.
But just existing doesn't mean a search engine will actually recommend you over the guy down the street who also cleaned up his data.
Right.
So how does the AI decide who's actually relevant for a specific search?
This is where we shift from who you are to what you do.
Okay.
Once the search engine trusts your existence, it needs to map your specific capabilities to a user's exact intent. And this is where the power of specificity comes into play.
Specificity?
Yeah. The article notes that a massive mistake service businesses make is trying to cover everything. They want to be all things to all people.
Wait, let me push back on that for a second.
Sir?
Because conventional business wisdom has always been about casting the widest net possible to catch the most customers.
Right. I hear that all the time.
If I run an HVAC business, shouldn't I list every single town in a 50-mile radius?
Yeah.
And every single type of pipe I can fix, every brand I service, and every tool I own? I mean, I don't want to miss out on a single potential job just because I didn't list it.
It's a very common instinct, but it's fundamentally counterproductive in today's search environment.
Why is that?
Specifically because of how semantic search works. The article explicitly points out that trying to list every possible service, city, and variation just makes your profile vague.
Vague by listing more things.
Yes. You dilute your core signals. The businesses that show up first are the ones that clearly define their primary core services and their exact primary service areas.
So casting too wide a net actually confuses the algorithm.
It creates semantic distance.
Semantic distance. Okay, what's that?
Well, if an algorithm sees you claim to be an expert in 50 different distinct subcategories across 30 different cities, your overall relevance score for any single one of those specific combinations is diluted.
Ah, I see.
Clarity beats a wide net every single time. And this is especially crucial now as we transition heavily into the era of voice search and AI-based assistants.
Right, because voice search operates entirely differently than a traditional desktop search.
Exactly. When you type on a desktop, Google gives you 10 blue links. You can browse.
You can click around, see what looks good.
Right. But when someone asks their smart speaker, "Who can fix a leaking water heater near me today?" The AI doesn't read off 10 links.
No, it just gives you one answer.
It has to give one definitive answer. The confidence threshold for what we call zero-click searches or voice searches is astronomically higher.
Because it's making the choice for you.
Yes. To match that specific conversational query, the search engine needs highly specific verified data. And that data doesn't just come from your self-published service list.
Where does it come from?
It comes heavily from natural language processing of your reviews.
The reviews. The holy grail of local business.
Indeed.
But the article makes a really interesting distinction here, and I want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. Are you telling me that the algorithm might actually weigh a 4-star review with a paragraph of detailed text heavier than a 5-star review that just says, great job?
Yes, exactly.
Because that feels entirely backward to how human consumers think. We just look at the star average.
To a human, a 5.0 average is king. We just want to see the stars.
Right.
But to a machine learning algorithm, a 5-star rating with no text is nice, but it's data poor. The article emphasizes that the winning competitors have recent, relevant, and consistent written feedback.
Written feedback.
Yeah. It gives a great example. A competitor with 75 recent reviews that highlight specific phrases like fast service, upfront pricing, or same-day repair.
So the algorithm is actually reading the text. It's not just doing math on the stars.
It's using natural language processing, or NLP, to extract entities and sentiment from the text.
Entities being the keywords.
Right. Those 75 reviews aren't just social proof for human readers. They're a goldmine of structured keywords. Let's go back to that voice search for a same-day repair.
Okay.
When a user asks that, the algorithm scans the local businesses, looks past what the business claims it does, and analyzes the reviews. It says, aha, this business has 30 different independent customers verifying that they actually deliver same-day repair.
That's wild. The language in your reviews acts as the exact vocabulary the AI uses to categorize you.
Yes.
It's turning unstructured human praise into a structured database of your actual capabilities.
You've hit the nail on the head. If your reviews are older, sparse, or just say, nice guy, you're giving the system zero contextual information to work with.
Because nice guy doesn't mean you can fix a pipe.
Exactly. The AI can't map nice guy to a query about a broken water heater.
So it's almost like you need to train your customers to use the words you want the AI to learn. You aren't just asking for a good review, you're asking them to be specific about the problem you solved.
That's a huge takeaway.
Earning the right reviews is actually an SEO strategy.
It's a brilliant way to look at it. The text of the review is the raw material the AI uses to understand your relevance.
Okay, so let's review where we are. We have a perfectly complete listing. Name, address, phone number all match perfectly everywhere, creating zero data conflicts for the knowledge graph.
Check.
We've clearly defined our specific services, avoiding the trap of casting too wide a net and diluting our signals.
Check.
And we have a steady stream of text-heavy reviews where our customers are feeding the NLP algorithm all the right keywords. We're golden, right? We can just close the laptop, get back to running our actual business, and watch the leads roll in.
Unfortunately, no.
No.
And this is where a massive percentage of businesses stumble, even the ones that hired expensive agencies to clean up their data. They treat their digital presence as a one-time project.
Like a set-it-and-forget-it task.
Exactly. But algorithms don't work that way. Algorithms deal in real-time relevance. The final major piece of the puzzle that the article covers is the pulse of the business, the absolute necessity of ongoing activity.
So what does this all mean in practice? What is the pulse?
It means activity matters significantly more than most business owners realize. Search engines are constantly looking for proof of life.
Proof of life.
Yeah. The web is full of dead businesses, abandoned websites, and outdated directories. So algorithms use recency bias as a major ranking factor.
Recency bias. So they favor newer stuff.
Yes. Updated photos, responding to recent reviews, minor profile changes, publishing short posts or updates, these all act as a digital heartbeat.
A digital heartbeat.
It's a ping to the server saying, we're still here, we're still operating, and our data is still fresh.
I'm trying to think of how the algorithm processes that.
Yeah.
It's not about the artistic quality of the photo you upload, is it?
Not at all. It's about the metadata.
The metadata.
Yeah. When you upload a new photo of a completed job on a Tuesday afternoon, that image file contains a timestamp and geographic coordinates.
Ah, wow.
It proves to the algorithm that an authorized user is actively managing the profile in real time.
So if a profile goes dormant, even if every single piece of information on it is 100% accurate and historically verified, the algorithm's confidence score will start to decay over time.
Exactly. Algorithmic decay.
Algorithmic decay.
The system assumes that a lack of digital activity correlates to a lack of real-world relevance. Or worse, that the business has quietly closed its doors.
Because it hasn't heard from you in 6 months.
Right. Meanwhile, a competitor who regularly updates their presence, even just by adding a quick photo from their smartphone once a week, benefits from that recency bias.
So they jump ahead.
They're constantly reinforcing their relevance and freshness.
It's the digital equivalent of sweeping the front stoop every morning.
That's a great way to put it.
You aren't fundamentally changing the building. You're just showing the neighborhood and the algorithm that the lights are on, and you're ready for business.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, these ongoing small updates are the actual engine of sustained visibility.
It's not a one-and-done thing.
No, it's not about one massive, expensive website overhaul every 5 years. It's about consistent, low-level engagement. The search engines reward businesses that treat their digital storefronts with the same daily, habitual care they give their physical ones.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. When you step back and look at all of this, the knowledge graph consistency, the danger of diluting your services, the NLP processing of specific review text, and the constant digital heartbeat, the free businesslisting.com article points out a really comforting truth.
Comforting.
Yeah. The gap between your buried business and that top-ranked competitor who is stealing all the local traffic, it's usually much, much smaller than you think.
It's a very empowering realization for anyone who feels overwhelmed by big tech.
Right. Because you don't need $1 million ad budget to fix a missing suite number on Bing.
No, you don't.
You don't need a team of Silicon Valley engineers to ask your next customer to mention same-day repair in their review. You don't need complex software to upload a new photo from your iPhone once a week to reset that algorithmic decay.
Exactly.
These are all completely controllable fundamentals. It's not about tricking the AI or gaming the system. It's simply about feeding the system better, cleaner, more structured information than the guy down the street.
The barrier to entry for local visibility is actually incredibly low, but the cost of ignoring it is existential.
Existential.
As the article summarizes so well, in today's search environment, whether you're dealing with traditional search engines, Apple Maps, or these highly restrictive new voice assistants, the businesses that win aren't always the objectively best businesses.
Right.
They're simply the ones that are easiest for a machine to understand, easiest for a machine to trust, and therefore safest for a machine to recommend.
Easiest to understand, easiest to trust, safest to recommend. That really distills the whole piece down beautifully.
It does.
The ultimate takeaway here isn't a technical one. The question isn't whether you're actually a better plumber or a sharper accountant or a more skilled contractor than your competitor.
No.
The question is whether your digital footprint makes that reality obvious to an algorithm that only understands structured data.
Which brings us to a rather profound final thought.
What's that?
As we unpack the mechanics of how these systems work, it raises an important question that extends far beyond just local business listings.
Okay, I'm listening.
If search engines and AI assistants increasingly rely entirely on these specific visibility signals, structured data, review entities, algorithmic heartbeats to determine who is the best in a given area.
Yeah.
What happens to our local economies when a fundamentally inferior business perfectly optimizes their digital signals, while a true master craftsman, someone who is genuinely the best at what they do, completely ignores theirs?
Wow. The AI wouldn't even know the master craftsman exists.
No.
The system would just crown the inferior but digitally savvy business the winner.
Exactly. And because we trust the AI's recommendation, that inferior business gets all the revenue, allowing them to grow, while the craftsman struggles.
That's wild.
As AI increasingly becomes our primary filter for reality, curating where we eat, who we hire, and what we buy, we have to ask ourselves a very difficult question. Is the map becoming more important than the actual territory?
The map versus the territory.
If the algorithm only understands the digital signal, then for all intents and purposes, the digital signal becomes the reality.
Is the map becoming more important than the actual territory? That's a chilling thought, but also a massive call to action.
It really is.
You can't just rely on being good at what you do anymore. You have to be good at translating what you do into a language the machine understands.
Precisely.
Whether you're running a business, building a personal brand, or honestly just acting as a curious consumer trying to navigate a world increasingly curated by AI, you have to look at your digital footprint through this new lens. Are you giving the system the structured signals it needs to see the real you? Or are you letting an algorithm guess? We'll leave you to chew on that one. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the invisible signals shaping our visible world.